Good morning and Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome to this, the first Sunday of Christmas. We meet in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. It's a real delight to be able to welcome you here, and I'm not going to prattle on with notices for too long, because Christmas is here and we should celebrate. So let us stand and sing our first hymn, Joy to the World, which is number 340. Into the world. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Would you please be seated? Together we say, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. You'll see that we come to the lighting of the Advent candles, for our season of waiting has been waited, and what we have been awaiting has now indeed arrived. And so we have our four Advent candles standing watch, as they do in anticipation of the birth of Christ. We have the patriarchs to whom God made the promises, the prophets through whom God spoke his promises of judgment and love to his people. We have John the Baptist, who always pointed the way towards the one that was greater than he. And we have the pondering, meditative love of Mary, who was wondering what manner of greeting it was that the angel had for her when announcing that she would have a son. And so we come to our Easter candle, taking the light of the resurrection. And we remember that our hope and our faith began not on the cross, but with the birth of a baby child born in Bethlehem. Jesus, who came into the world, is the light of the world. And we have seen his glory as of a Father's only Son. And so let us pray. Lord Jesus, Master of both the light and the darkness, send your Holy Spirit upon us as we greet Christmas. We who have been so busy, seeking quiet spaces to hear your voice each day, We who are anxious over many things, watching for your coming among us. We who have been blessed in so many ways and long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose hearts are heavy, seek the joy of your presence. For we are your people walking in darkness, yet seeking the light. To you we say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Christ, the light of the world, has come to dispel the darkness of our hearts. Let us turn to the light and confess our sins. God, our Father, you sent your Son full of grace and truth. Forgive our failure to receive him. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Jesus, our Saviour, you were born in poverty and laid in a manger. Forgive our greed and rejection of your ways. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Spirit of love, your servant Mary responded joyfully to your call. Forgive the hardness of our hearts. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May the God who loves the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour forgive you your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And our collect prayers for this, the first Sunday of Christmas. Almighty God, who wonderfully created us in your own image, and yet more wonderfully restored us through your Son, Jesus Christ, grant that as he came to share in our humanity, so we may share the life of his divinity, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. We remain seated to hear our Bible readings.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 18. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy, wearing a linen ephod, which is a little priestly apron. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, may the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Then they would go home. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive it, as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since, as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So let us sing with hearts filled with gratitude to God our Father by singing song number 92, Father God, I Wonder. We're going to sing this through twice. Of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? We've had the Christmas story, that great moment of the incarnation of God himself stepping into the world to become a human being just like us. And in case there's any doubt about how human Jesus was, we read along into the next few verses and we come to every parent's nightmare of a missing child. There is a ring of truth about this that comes about not just from it being believable that Jesus could get lost, but because we have all at one point or another lost either a child or something incredibly valuable and frantically looked around trying to find them. That sense of your stomach dropping, that catch in your throat and the tension of anxiety is something that is immensely relatable to each and every one of us, even if unfortunately some of us have those moments more often than others, particularly with Alfred now opening kitchen cupboards and pulling out goodness knows what onto the floor with a loud crash and a bang. But I digress. But here we have a story which shows us that Jesus is human. And he's human in the ways that we're all human. And that is exactly the point. God did not come into the world as an avatar or robot or some kind of divine being who is perfect in such a way that he does not engage in the messiness of human life and reality. The God who comes into the world comes into the world as a baby. And I hate to say it because this might offend a few of you, but the carol is wrong when it says silently how silently he was born. He cried. He pooped. He fed. He was a baby. Mary went through all of the symptoms of pregnancy because she was, in fact, pregnant. There's no sense here of having an Easter egg or one of those little Kinder eggs where you pop it out and out it comes as a perfectly formed little toy. This is a messy human experience in a human family, in an awkward situation of having to place him in a manger because they had nowhere else to put him. This is the same person who grew up to walk through crowds where people who were considered unclean would reach out just to touch the hem of his cloak that they might be healed. He's walking through a crowd full of people who are unwell. How often do we get close to people, especially post-COVID? We talk about social distancing. Well, Jesus didn't do that. He let anyone and everyone come up to him, grabbing him, touching him, asking him questions. He was in the midst of our human life as a human being. And that is what gives the cross its power. Not just that he is God, but especially that he is in the flesh and has dwelt among us, and that he knows our hearts and our frailties and our shames and our sins, and he dies our death. That's not to say that he's not perfect, but that his perfection looks like God's perfection and not like our idealized set of expectations. And that's a challenging thing for us to wrap our heads around. But if we used our idealized set of expectations and we listened to that other great heretical carol of a way in a manger, we would think that he was just meek and mild and obedient. We're not really singing about how wonderful Jesus was. We're singing how the Victorians wanted their kids to grow up to be. And we always have to be careful noticing those moments. Now, it's not to say that carols are bad. I love carols. You're just catching me having sung far too many of them in too short a space of time. There's a lot of great truths in them that I think are worthy and wonderful to sing, especially in an age where people are losing their sense of the Christian story. But we have not lost that story. We are here together because we know that God became a human being like us. And so I point these things out to remind us and encourage us that Jesus stressed his parents out just as I stress my parents out, and I'm sure each of you stressed your parents out, and have been stressed by other relatives or indeed your own children. And there's something wonderfully messy and perfect in the midst of that. But it's not just a story about his humanity. It's a story which is setting up and touching on so many different threads that I cannot untwine all of them. One of them is set up for us beautifully in the reading that Roger read for us, that little glimpse of the boy Samuel serving God in the temple. And it ends with the phrase, "The boy grew, and he grew in stature and favor with God and man." And we see exactly that at the end of this reading. Jesus returns following his parents back towards Judea. And it says Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. There's an interesting parallel here between Jesus and Samuel. And I think that it's a parallel between where things went wrong. And what I mean by that is that Samuel was the last of the judges over Israel. And after that point, the people of Israel came before God and said, "Lord, we want a king. Because the other nations have a king, we think kings are a great idea." And God gives Samuel a whole sermon where he preaches and says, "Look, kings suck. They are awful. They will get corrupt. They will be disobedient. They will lead you astray. And you will be just like the other nations. And look at the problems they're having." And what the people say to God at that point, and they say to Samuel, is, "Yeah, but we want a king." And so Samuel goes forward with God's blessing and anoints for them their first king, King Saul. And from that point on, we have the rest of Kings and Chronicles, a whole litany of tragedies, of royalty getting led astray, and the people of Israel struggling immensely. And yet Samuel was faithfully serving God in the temple. And God told him to give the people what they wanted. And we have here an echo of that story as Jesus is coming. And when he grows up, he is going to be that faithful boy serving the Lord who gives to the people of God their new king. It is indeed him himself, but he finds himself in this situation of having to be both prophet, priest, and king. And a couple of people might be nodding at that nice little reference. Don't worry if you don't get it, but it's this threefold ministry of Jesus. And so there's an allusion here, right from the very beginning in Luke, that Jesus is going to grow up to present the people of God with a king. And there's something else in it. Did you notice it as I was reading it? He is missing. Where has he gone? How long does it take them to find him? This is not a rhetorical question. How long did it take them to find him? Who was paying attention? 3 days. And on the third day, the women went to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away. And Mary is asking, "Where is my Lord?" to the man that she believes is a gardener. Isn't it interesting that right at the very beginning we have a parallel? And the parallel gets crazier because you come along and you realize it's happening at Passover. And there's this question in response, well, why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I would be here? And we hear Jesus say, well, why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I had to die and be raised again? On the Emmaus Road, he talks to the disciples and he unfolds all of the scriptures, explaining how they point towards him. And Luke here in writing this bit is not just conveying a very human story that Jesus is human like we are human, but he's drawing on all these layers of richness and meaning from the Old Testament scriptures and foreshadowing what it is that Jesus has come to do. Much as in Matthew's gospel, we have the Magi coming to visit Jesus and presenting him with gifts worthy of a king. When we pay attention and we look at the message of Christmas and the resonances and threads that are within it, we find that it leads inextricably towards the cross and resurrection. Jesus Christ is not born by accident. Everything is aligned and done with great intention. And that intention is because God says, I love these people so much that I will send my only Son, and those who believe in him will not die, but shall have eternal life. And what does that eternal life look like? Well, it's eternal friendship with God. We heard this phrase in our collect prayer this morning, and I think it is something that is often overlooked in the Church of England. This idea that divinity became humanity, that humanity might become divine. Now that sounds strange and should not be misunderstood. I'm not saying that we become like Power Rangers, having superpowers and abilities to jump great distances and fight great evils. But I am saying that the presence of God, the Holy Spirit himself, is offered to all those who believe in the name of Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit is in our hearts, living in us and within us and sustaining us, we are participating in the life of God, just as God participates in the midst of our lives. We are changed and transformed, and we become more like our God and our Savior. We become, as he says in Deuteronomy, holy because he is holy and has circumcised our hearts. And this is what we remember each and every time we come for communion. We taste the bread and the wine as physical signs and reminders of the love of God. But the love of God is not an ethereal concept somewhere out there, but it's tangible. In the flesh, born for us in a baby Jesus, sustained for us through a Jesus who grew up and dwelt among us, crowned for us as the one who died for our sins on the cross and rose again from the grave. So as we hold all these threads in our hearts and we look at the beginning of a new year of 2025, I encourage you to keep on pulling on these threads, noticing the details, and hearing within them all this overwhelming conviction that God loves you. Amen. Grateful for the love of God, I invite you to stand as together we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Would you please be seated as we come to a time of prayer.
Jesus' perception and understanding of his purpose and work begins to take shape throughout his childhood. We've been called to pray for one another in God's presence. Let us settle ourselves to do that now. We pray for all who are called to lead and teach, so that the truth of God's love is shared throughout all the world. We ask for wisdom, energy, and sensitivity to God's prompting. Incarnate God, we love you and we need you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In these times where there is hostility and violence, we pray for all with power and influence in our world. We ask for a widespread desire for those qualities of compassion and integrity. Incarnate God, we love you and we need you. We pray for all parents and their children, especially where there are conflicts, anxious moments, gaps in communication. Incarnate God, we love you and we need you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all missing persons and their families, all who are rethinking their direction, all who are finding life full of contradictions. And we pray for all who suffer from anxiety or pain. We pray for those in our congregation who are ill, and in a short time of silent prayer, we bring to you those whom we know need you at this time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who've come to the end of their earthly life, especially in any who are unprepared. Lord, may the dying know your reality and find comfort and hope in you. May those who have died in faith live forever in the beauty of your holiness. Incarnate God, we love you and we need you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we give thanks and praise for your involvement in our lives. Breathe your grace into our knowing and feeling so that we rejoice at each step of the way. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you please stand? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. And so we're going to sing one of those great carols now. Number 23, Angels from the Realms of Glory. made flesh, life of the world. In your incarnation, you embraced our poverty. By your Spirit, may we share in your riches. Amen. Would you please be seated? The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. All glory and honour be yours always and everywhere. Mighty Creator, ever-living God, we give you thanks and praise for your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who, for love of our fallen race, humbled himself and was born of the Virgin Mary by the power of your Spirit and lived as one of us. In this mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused his light to shine in our hearts, to give knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. In him we see our God made visible, and so are caught up in the love of a God that we cannot see. Therefore, with all the angels of heaven, we lift our voices to proclaim the glory of your name, and sing our joyful hymn of praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, the perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance, for he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. All are welcome to come forwards to receive communion, but if you'd rather receive a blessing, please keep your hands crossed, and I'll be glad to do so. Jesus Christ, preserve our body and soul unto everlasting life. The blood of Christ. Heavenly Father, whose blessed Son shared at Nazareth the life of an earthly home, help your church to live as one family, united in love and obedience, and bring us at the last to our home in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so let us stand and sing our final hymn, number 470, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with his love doth befriend thee. Jesus Christ, born at Nazareth, at Bethlehem even. I do know the Christmas story. Jesus Christ, born at Bethlehem, is God born to befriend us? And that truly is good news for us to travel on from this place into all that our own lives do hold. And so I leave you all with a Christmas blessing. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the faithfulness of Mary and Joseph, and the peace of the Christ child be evident in your lives now and evermore. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and all those whom you love this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.